remercie.
Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros.
Ready. Play.
It is day six in the French capital at Roland Garros. The sun is shining. The shockwaves are still being felt to a degree with the exit yesterday of Jannik Sinner, who was leading by 2-5-1. But the tournament goes on. There are places to be won in the third round. The top half has opened up completely, and now we find ourselves back in the bottom half, where initially no one wanted to be. Now they'd all like to, well, they wanted to be, now they don't want to be. This is where Novak Djokovic and Sasha Zverev find themselves. We've got Iga Świątek taking to the court. It's a really, really good day of tennis. The temperature is going to hit the mid-30s once again. It's going to break in the next few days. So sun shining, wispy clouds in the sky, and Courtney and Marcus in the studio. How are we both this fine, beautiful morning?
I'm extremely well, Empress. Although, you know what, I made a few errors yesterday. It was an incredible day. Right. And one of my consistent errors was getting Rindicknish. Yeah, his name wrong. So I bottled out and started just calling him Arthur. And of course, then I got loads of messages saying, no, it's Arthur. So I felt like giving up at that stage.
Just call him the Frenchman.
Yes, but he's out now. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Oh, that's harsh, isn't it? But it is true. Courtney, how are you?
I'm very well, but I think like everyone in this extreme heat, just, you know, you fray at the seams a little bit. We saw Jannik just fray at the seams a little bit yesterday from late in the third, and we saw what happened. And look, a little time poor this morning. I went to shave my noggin, and as I'm striding in...
Shave your what?
Shave my head.
Oh,
shave my head. Shave my noggin.
Marcus!
I didn't hear what he said.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And as I'm striding striding to make time, and
have you shaved your head?
I've run my hand up one side of my head and realised that I've clearly missed a few spots. So that's going to make for a long, long day.
Oh no!
He also came bursting into the commentary booth like a man possessed, because he actually had to do some work last night.
It's out of control.
Had to write 200 words.
That's what happens. Jannik Sinner causes a lot of people a lot of work, doesn't he?
He does.
By the way, may I just say that you've shaved your head beautifully this morning, Gigi.
Thanks very much. I did miss a few areas, as you can see. I didn't quite nail it. Gosh, this is even the start. Can you imagine what it's been like by the end? Courtney and I were having a chat because we were looking down the order of play, and Yulia Staropseva, the young lady from Ukraine, is on court number 7. She said in her press conference after her match, my boyfriend, who's also my coach, is getting slightly worried because he always said to me, if I crack top 50, he'd propose. I've just had a look. She's 55 in the live rankings. So if she beats Wang Xinyu today, that proposal will be just around the corner, because she will fly into the top 40.
If I'm the boyfriend, I'm going to say the live rankings don't count.
What do you mean they don't count?
Because could they not change again by the end of the week? And you've got to go with the end of week rankings.
No, but I think at a Grand Slam, with the points she'll make and the players behind her who have already lost, she's not dropping back outside 50.
I would have thought there's a lot of pressure on the game plan today, because
give her the wrong one,
and well, she'll be saying, hang on, what does this all mean for our future? The right one, and it's like, game on.
She'll go to 46 in the world. And there's Magda Linette, who's still going strong here. We've got, who else? Solanas here. There's a couple, but no, there's not enough to take her back down. So right. I wonder if he's... Well, a beautiful place to go ring shopping is the Champs-Élysées.
Again, even more pressure on the game plan today.
I think I just saw him jumping in an Uber going straight to the airport to an undisclosed destination.
So what are we both looking forward to today?
Well, I mean, we're out on Court Philippe Chatrier at the moment. We're watching Boy Wonder, Joao Fonseca.
Yeah.
His match against, I guess it's a Batman if it's Boy Wonder. Batman or Novak Djokovic.
The Joker.
There we go. We have a real theme going here. So I'm looking forward to that match later today. I think we'll see a lot, because it's hot.
Surprised it wasn't at night?
Yes, a little bit. But I also accept that actually that slot, arguably, is prime time. and
the afternoon one.
Yeah, the late afternoon one.
Yeah, but
on a Friday evening.
Temperature-wise, it's also prime time.
And I mean, there's been a few whispers circulating, and you hear whispers circulating fast around Grand Slams. It was the same with Sinner yesterday. That if you were to play in the day, he wanted to play early. With Novak, he struggled to sleep after his night match a few nights ago. So, you know, trying to keep yourself on track because it is very much a day tournament. Australian Open is a night tournament by and large, so you've got to try and stay on the time as much as possible, but it does expose him to some late heat.
Do you think it's worth just reminding everybody that only one of us in the whole team tipped Novak Djokovic to win?
He hasn't won.
He's still got a chance, unlike everyone else's.
My understanding is that the Grand Slams can be lost in the first week, but they can be won late in the second week on the Sunday, and we're still very firmly in the first week, Marcus.
Is there any one of us in the team that may have lost their woman's tip?
Well, yes.
Did that happen on the same day?
No, that happened the day before.
Day before, even earlier.
So Eleanor was docked by Marcus 2 to 3 days pay for losing a dark horse.
Both dark horses.
I think for losing a contender and to be the first one to lose a main contender, that could be 5 days.
At the very least, picking up the tab for our time-honoured dinner party.
I've just been hearing about the wonderful restaurant we're going to.
It's a nicer restaurant.
You did say, I did note that just a touch more expensive, just to really strain the buckling purse strings.
Marcus, that's generous, thank you.
Well, my pleasure. I do think it'd be nice, Shiz, if you could, I know you're very busy, but if you could compile an update as to, we've all got obviously four picks. It'd be interesting to know who's got four left, who's got 3-2.
I will go, you know what? I'm going to go and do that now because we've got some tennis to crack on with. So I'm going to head to the little box next door, wave at you occasionally, check you're still on track.
No, you saw that yesterday.
I saw that yesterday from, what's it called, flipping the bird?
No, that's one finger.
Well, one finger, yes.
He was flipping two birds.
I don't know what to say about that.
But the wonderful thing is he did it with such a smile on his face, thinking obviously it wasn't a rude gesture. And no one's ever done it, so really genuine. Genuinely smiling as they do it again and again and again.
Without any malice.
Malice. There was no malice attached to it whatsoever.
He wouldn't know the meaning of the word. And actually, I might be doing him a disservice. Did you have Djokovic? Stefan's got Djokovic as well, but the two of us know what we're talking about. You're sharing the bill next week, Stefan.
Right, that's the only reason he brought Stefan into it. Right, I'm going to go and compile exactly who's going to be paying for next Thursday. But at radio_RG, if you'd like to send us a message on Twitter or X, French Open Radio, FFT.fr. Very much looking forward to Friday in Paris.
Thank you, en presse, Gigi. And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Absolutely. Pleasure to be with you again on another beautiful day in Paris. We've got a few wispy clouds. If I'm not mistaken, this is the penultimate day of the real heat. It's going to be hot again today, as it has been since certainly I arrived last Saturday. It's going to be hot again tomorrow. And then I think, Courtney, we'll get some relief. And actually, it's going to be quite cool next week.
A tournament of two seasons.
Yeah.
Very much, we go from stifling conditions to effectively, you know, 10 overnight and 19 to 20 during the day, and there's certainly suggestions that we'll get some rain most days at different stages. So, look, for the singles, it's probably less. Well, no, it'll be an issue because there's only one stadium roof court. So if the rain hits early in the week, there might be some compression of matches. But look, touch wood, it's comfortable. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Can I ask you, as an Aussie, and of course you're very used to conditions like this, I mean, do you get used to them, or are you finding this a struggle?
Look, personally, I'm finding that it's testing without being overbearing, but I'm not out there playing four sets of tennis. So, look, you know, I've been for a few runs on that, but I don't think it's anything more taxing than what you might get in Australia, sort of in the depths of summer. But the difference is our houses are made to cope with the heat. So here you're overnights, you know, you're not getting that. And look, talking to a few, we've had a few Queenslanders, that's the northern state in Australia where it's hot and humid, and each one of them said, it's nothing, mate. But it clearly is something. The sustained heat clearly is something, because we're seeing that impacting the players. It's not just Sinner. There's been quite a few who have really struggled in this heat. So, yourself, do you can feel it? It is.
Well, luckily being super fit, it's not a big problem for me. I love the way you just threw in. I've been for a few runs. You mean when you've been late for work, you've had to run up the stairs? That's basically what it is.
It's exactly what I meant.
Well, listen, we are going to start on Kostyuk and Long then, but we can be very variable. We're interested to see how Marta Kostyuk does against Victoria Golubic. That's just underway, and Kostyuk has held serve. She's in terrific form at the moment. At midday, we'll cross to Chatrier because Iga Świątek could have a work cut out against Magda Linette, who's already beaten her this year. And if any other stories develop, and based on yesterday, that's very likely, we'll nip across. I see that Thiago Agustín Tirante is playing Pablo Carreño Busta, so a double barrel battle on court 14. Yulia Stadabdubsova, who's created headlines this week, is playing on court 7. So wherever it happens, we'll be there. And from the British point of view, I'll give you updates on Cash and Glasspool, who are the number 3 seeds in the men's doubles. And they are playing Plavacek and Prizl. But here we go on Suzanne Longland with Nuno Borges of Portugal up against Andre Rublev. And I'm intrigued in a moment, Courtney, to get your thoughts on Rublev. Now, half the court is in the shade, half in the blistering sunshine as Borges puts a backhand into the bottom of the net. You had to write this big article last night about Sinner going out. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that in itself is very interesting, but the implications are fascinating. Who is going to benefit? And I've read all sorts of stories this morning with lots of names mentioned, and not once have I seen anybody suggest that maybe Andre Rublev can take advantage as he comes in to a short ball and puts away a backhand to go to love 30. Do you think he could be a dark horse?
I think he could well be a dark horse because I think Andre, when he is at his best, is just such a sublime ball striker who is capable of going toe-to-toe with everyone left in the field without a doubt, particularly on this surface. We know his record, though. 10 Grand Slam quarterfinal appearances. Now, that is indicative of a player of high order, someone who is so exceptionally consistent and clearly someone that, you know, as he has been for many years now, in the top 10 to 20 players in the world throughout. But we also know his history. You know, he has those moments where he loses control, where the tension can get to him, where there'll be moments where, talking about fraying and, you know, not quite picking up a couple of patches on my noggin this morning.
You and your noggin.
There's going to be times where he will fray. But, yeah, I do give him a significant... I give him a chance, absolutely. List him among those who are possible.
Well, it certainly has opened up possibilities for so many people. And a poor forehand from Borges into the net has given Rublev the chance to break right at the start of this match at 30-40. He's got a good record against Borges, and that should give him a little more confidence. They've met on 4 previous occasions, and Rublev's won all 4 times, and he's lost only 1 set in that time. Can he get the break to begin with? The answer is, well, not there, because his backhand returns long.
And it's an interesting one. Borges is a really sound, solid competitor, Marcus. He's a genuine player on the tour. Really solid from the baseline. You'll see today that some of his ground strokes tend to be a little flatter. Doesn't hit with the extreme rip, you know, the extreme topspin that some of the guys are capable of. No. Nor does he hit with the extreme power some of the guys are capable of. But he'll outwork and outwear many, and it's a bit of a flatter ball. But against Rublev, that's the type of ball for mine that he loves. It's not going to take him too far out of court. And as I said, magnificent ball striker. If it's in the zone, you're in trouble.
Well, a good serve to Rublev out wide to get Borges to advantage in the opening game, and now he's promptly double-faulted, so we're back to deuce. Borges, who's wearing a very smart outfit. I'm terrible with colours. Courtney, what shade of blue is that?
I would say that's Buckland blue, because it's almost the same shade as your shirt.
It is, actually. You're right.
Buckland blue.
Okay, I like that. Rublev at this near end, he's got a sort of a mix of colours, darkish blue and almost Buckland blue as well. And he's playing a backhand down the middle of the court to the forehand of Borges, exactly as Courtney was saying, the flatter strikes from the Portuguese player. A bit more loft on his backhand there, both men going across the court. Now a shot, drop shot that Rublev gets to, but he's going to get past. Did well to get to the ball, but he opened up the whole of the court and Borges said obrigado.
Beautiful touch. That lovely, delicate droppy cross court angled drop shot on the backhand wing set up that point. And just really just eased into that forehand, didn't he? Like he was easing into a morning coffee.
Were you impressed with my Portuguese just then?
I was.
Yeah.
I was. I mean, I didn't understand a word you said, but I'm going to bank that it was Portuguese.
It was. We used to go there every year on holiday, and in all those years, I learned two words, obrigado, which means thank you, and burro burro, which means donkey. Donkey donkey, to be absolutely precise. And it's the game for Borges. And the reason I know that is because every year, as an alternative to lying around the pool or going to the beach, we go on these donkey rides.
Really?
And you'd have to say burro burro.
Donkey donkey,
donkey.
As in to urge the donkey on.
But I mean, we're moving away from the tennis briefly. I very nearly got killed on one of these trips.
By a donkey? By a burro?
Well, by the actions of a donkey. We were coming to quite a busy road, and unfortunately, I didn't know how to tell the donkey to stop. I could just say thank you to it, and I did need to make it stop because we were coming to this busy road, and I'm not kidding, Courtney, a huge great coach was thundering down the road, and the donkey carried on regardless into the middle of the road, and I threw myself off it because I did think we were going to get chopped, and of course the coach topped in time, the donkey was fine, and I had a very badly cut arm.
Who looked like the donkey?
Yeah, well, there you go. It was, don't know how we've got onto that subject, to be honest with you, but
Borges' beautiful forehand crossball pass reminded you of a donkey and a near-death experience, similar to the one that Stefan had yesterday when stuck in the lift.
Well, I mean, you just never know what's going to happen.
Was Gigi your emergency contact for that trip?
At the time, no, because she wouldn't help. She'd just laugh. She would just laugh. And talking of people in peril, Naomi Cavaday, who for some reason is the first voice we ever hear. You know that Stefan had 50 weeks. He has 50 weeks of the year off before he does these two gentle weeks.
And I understand feeding the water when it's a hot day like today, getting massages.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he created this brand new opening, and Naomi Cavaday's voice comes on first. And anyway, she's working for television just up the corridor here, and their air conditioning has broken down. And apparently it's like a sauna in there. She's meant to do the first two matches. She said she might last an hour at most. Ace from Rublev out wide, he goes to 30 love. I mean, these TV people, they're such prima donnas, aren't they?
Oh, you would never work in TV, would you?
Never. Never. Till the offer comes. I'll be back there. 30 love, Rublev first serve into the net. Marta Kostyuk has broken straight away on court Simo Macha against Victoria Golubic. And she is one of the form players at the moment, Kostyuk. And she's my dark horse as well. There's a good deep ball down the middle of the court from Rublev. Borges can do nothing about it. 40 love.
She did well a couple of days ago after dropping that first set to get through. It's amazing. It's been quite a while between drinks here to the third round. And yeah, she's still so young and playing so impressively. And good start for her against Golubic.
Rublev with the second serve. Looking to go up by two games to one, but it's a double fault. Just goes past the service line, and already that look of slight frustration from Andre. I've got such a lot of time for this guy because we know he gets very angry. It's disturbing to see, but we also know that he is battling his demons, and he's been extremely honest about that, and he's got a guy in his corner trying to help him in that regard. We've just seen him.
I wandered past that guy. His name's Marat Safin, a dual Grand Slam champion. I think 21 years since his success in Melbourne. He won in New York as well. Just a tremendous ball striker. But, you know, he's a different looking man these days. He's all hair. Those sunglasses that he has on, what are they, a hexagon in terms of the shape? Yeah. But I walked past him on Avenue Mozart on the way down from Passy on the 16th to Roland Garros a couple of days ago, and he was about this time easing into a coffee, and here he is a couple of days later on 11 o'clock start. I suspect he does his best work after midday.
I should think so. But I think it's a fascinating combination, and I wish them both great success. I was lucky enough to get to know Andre Rublev a little bit during one of those pre-season exhibition events in India and China back in December. Yeah. And he's a very quiet, lovely guy to talk to. And very thoughtful. Sense of humour. You know, he's nothing like the nutcase you occasionally see on the court.
No. I think he's considered. Considered and a great interview. And he's a superb player.
Yeah.
Was that this year or was that?
That was in December, end of last year. Backhand return cross court from Rublev now plays the off forehand. Lots of depth on that. Borges has done well to get it back in play. Then Rublev goes back behind him, stays at the net and has an easy volley to put away, having controlled that point from start to finish.
And again, just an indication of Borges not being able to get the ball out of his hitting zone there, not being able to get it high enough. Rublev, a beautiful, flat, deep drive, followed it up with a nice, heavily topspin and approach deep to the back end again, and just opened the court, put away the volley, a very, very convincing play. Pumps the fist as well. That's a positive body language.
So he's at love 30 again, as he was in Borges' opening service game. The Portuguese came back to hold, so 1-1, love 30, and a second serve for Rublev to try and take advantage of. Plays a fattish forehand down the middle of the court. Off forehand now from Rublev, who's running around onto his forehand, plays the inside in. He's there again to play a backhand down the middle of the court. Cross court now on the forehand by the Russian, looking to change things up as much as possible. He's got Borges under pressure. Good slice return though from Borges, who then had a chance to go inside in with his forehand, but he's missed. Rublev is just indicating to the umpire ball did land wide. Borges was complaining about the call. He's coming to the net.
There's a space between the mark and the line. It's a very small space, but there is a space. The ball is coming like this, just out. No, no.
That's the umpire.
And Borges shakes his hair in despair. It did look by the flight that it was going wide, only marginally. And then Rublev on top of it, there's, you know, it hasn't been too many shots that deep this early in the set. And he was all over it and said, gave it the circle. The umpire straight off the chair. Have you seen anyone move more rapidly?
Only you, trying to get here on time this morning. Renaud Lichtenstein is our umpire.
Made it on time.
You did. You were early by a minute. But your noggin was full of sweat. Backhand cross court from Nuno Borges, who's now going to play an inside in forehand, which clips the top of the tape. The point continues. Rublev's there with his double hander. It's backhand to backhand at the moment. Now the forehand down the middle of the court from Borges. More flight from Rublev, who goes into his backhand corner again. Inside in from Borges. Oh, it's a winner. I don't know quite what happened there, because Rublev appeared to be in a position to at least put racket on ball.
15-40.
Just the depth of shot, I think. Perhaps the speed of shot. That's one thing he does. I mean, he can club through it pretty flat. It's not as much firepower, but yeah, he did have a swing on that.
Yeah. Just as though he thought, nah, I can't be bothered.
Yeah, it was a weird, like it would have been a squash shot, a defensive squash shot, but just opted against it.
Still break points though, 15-40. Backhand return down the middle of the court from Rublev. And then he goes long with his backhand, and the frustration will mount here because he had a break point in Borges' opening service game. Two have come and gone in this one. Still one more at 1-1, 30-40.
It does feel like there's a premium on every single chance you get in conditions like today, because if you do get a chance, you want to just seize it and try and bank it and try and get off the court quickly.
Missed first serve from Borges. Marit Safin was being quite animated just before this point. Second serve, Rublev takes the return early. Now he's playing a lofted forehand, a shortish ball that resulted in an off forehand from Borges. They continue on their backhands, and Rublev eventually nets. So from love 40, it's back to juice, and that is four break points that have come and gone for Andrei Rublev in the first 12 minutes of the match.
I sense that last backhand just skidded off the service line. Rublev certainly didn't get the full string, full strings on that. It shanked off the back end. Move forward, skidded the mark.
Some resilience required by Borges, and he's providing it up to now, but he's missed his first serve at juice. Rublev with a forehand return down the middle of the court. Forehand cross court from Borges, and that leads to an error from an off-balance Rublev on his forehand wing. 4 points in a row for Borges, and now a game point, and Rublev already is smacking his right thigh with his right hand.
And with some venom, Marcus. With some venom. A bit frustrated. Borges doing a really good job to hold on here after a significant amount of pressure.
Yeah, well, he's not getting many first serves in, Borges, but he's doing enough when it matters. Here's another second serve. The backhand returns into his backhand corner. Now down the middle of the court from Rublev. There was good depth on that. Even better depth from Borges, though. The error from Rublev. A clench of the fist from Borges. He survives again. It's going to be fascinating to watch Rublev's body language. They sit down after 13 minutes on serve with Rublev having failed to take advantage of a number of break points.
Always great theatrics when watching Andrei Rublev. Some great theatrics as well we get from our listeners, Marcus. Perhaps time for me to introduce and say, please write to us. Please get in contact. Tell us who you love watching in terms of their theatrics on the court and why. Write to email at frenchopenradio@fft.fr. It's frenchopenradio@fft.fr. Or you can also contact us on X, formerly Twitter, @radio_RG. Let us know what you're up to, where you are, and why you want to see Andrei Rublev peak at this Roland Garros.
And I think a lot would, Courtney. I really do think that there's a universal swell of, if not love, appeal towards this guy who is appearing at Roland Garros for the eighth time. He was a quarterfinalist in 2020 when he lost to Stefanos Tsitsipas, and in 2022 when he lost to Marin Cilic. And as Courtney was rightly saying, that's two of the 10 times in which he's got to the last eight of a slam and has never been able to get any further.
We've had a couple of emails. An old favourite of ours, Red Sox Devil, writing from Falcon, south of Perth in Western Australia, saying, nice to hear Marcus on the radio again, giving his wild successes with the Spurs and his legendary tipping of Yannick's demise. I half thought he might have gone on a biblical five-day celebration, let's say, by now.
Well, I've been opening a few supermarkets this morning in acknowledgement of that call.
And very good to hear from you. It's he goes into a significant amount of detail, Red Sox, about what he imagines your exploits are. Some are printable, some are able to be broadcast, others, and perhaps a little defamatory. All accurate.
That doesn't surprise me with Red Sox. You have to be very careful before you read anything out, but he's great value. There's an ace from Rublev, so although he's getting very frustrated by his inability to take advantage of the break points that have come his way, four of them in the first two Borges service games, he's rattled along to 40 love here, looking to level up at 2-2 in the bright sunshine. Another terrific day of tennis in store for us. And I notice also that they're starting to get ready for the Champions League final tomorrow night, which obviously is not being played in Paris, but PSG are in action and they're going to have a full house inside the stadium to watch that match virtually as they did last year. Do you remember the scenes last year as Rublev holds comfortably to level at Tour? This place was it was a madhouse, wasn't it?
I would say it was colourful, to say the least. I was watching that match up in Passy. We sort of got a little bit further out, and after they had succeeded, and well, were they happy? I walked through the streets a little bit, sort of down towards town, and it was lively.
Yeah,
lively to say the least. Yes. And around this area, I walked past Parc de France this morning, yes, you can see all the barriers being put into place. I suspect there'll be some revelry, and perhaps, as what Red Sox Devil alluded to, a little bit of a bender going on.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption. Big forehand, inside in forehand from Borges to go to 15 love. First time he's got the first point on his service game. He was at love 30 in the last two. Who will the majority of Australians be backing, do you think, when PSG play Arsenal?
Look, Arsenal. It is one of the curiosities of I would think there's more Arsenal fans in Australia than what there are PSG fans. Mm-hmm. With due respect to this fine city and its football team, there's probably just a bigger expat English population, and also the Premier League following in Australia by virtue of generations of families is probably stronger. So I'm just going to guess, but I'm saying the majority, I'm not so sure the majority will necessarily
care.
Give two figs.
No. Are you able?
Or two fingers, as Stefan was doing.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Stefan and his fingers. He's currently tapping away. He's writing to the lift operators, yeah, probably. As Borges holds really comfortably. That was a complete contrast to his previous two service games. Is it possible to identify the most popular English Premier League team in Australia?
I mean, your team certainly has its fans based on my chat group. There's certainly been a journalism chat group that I'm involved with. I think of about 8 or 9 of them. There's two on Spurs fans, so that's a reasonable proportion.
Is that because Ange Postecoglou was in charge, or
Well and truly before. I think they're a little upset that he departed. I think there was some frustration there because, you know, well, and there was also, I think, some disdain with how he was viewed in your homeland. But that's, you know, that's this is a, this is bygones and bygones through generations. I would think Tottenham would certainly have a strong fans. I think obviously the more successful clubs the biggest clubs in the last 20 years would also have a fair proportion. And that's why I think Arsenal will probably have a little more, you know, a little more fans in Australia. But I'm sure there'll be people tuning in. I cannot wait. The city is alive when PSG are playing.
Absolutely.
It was just dynamic last year.
It's an early kickoff, I think, French time. Is it 6 p.m.?
6 p.m.
I mean, it's much earlier than normal. I suppose the good news for Roland Garros is that unless it goes to extra time and penalties, it will be over before the night session begins at 8:15 tomorrow night. And, of course, we are here for the tennis. And many of you may not, as Courtney just said,
Two figs.
Might not give two figs for the match, but we'll mention it. We'll mention it if PSG are winning. We will not if Arsenal are. And that's the deal.
I think Cambers is an Arsenal man, isn't he?
No, he's Liverpool.
Liverpool, what am I saying?
Alex Sharp is an Arsenal fan. Well, we'll keep away from Alex Sharp in that case.
He's roaming around. His wife has instructed him to not wear his shirt that he has in Paris tomorrow.
That's very sensible advice.
She said, Kate has said, don't dare. And Sharpie is a wise man, but he has got a little streak in him, an adventurous streak. And I can imagine him, he works for the FFT print team or the website team. And I can imagine him just being bold enough and brave enough early in the morning to test the waters, go for a run, wear that shirt. He might run a bit quicker.
Yes, he definitely might need to run a bit quicker as Rublev quickly goes to 40 love at 2-3, looking for an ace out wide. These two starting to really settle in their service games. Rublev has from the word go. Second serve here, and a backhand return is wide. So it's another hold to love for Rublev. It's 3 games all. I need to ask Stefan, where can I go and get a PSG shirt from near here? Oh, at the stadium, of course.
I walked past it this morning. I was just referring to that before. There's a stadium there and there's a store.
Oh, of course. I should have gone there this morning. I walked past it.
You could go tonight.
I've got a bit of time between shifts. I'm going to wear a PSG shirt tomorrow. Why not? I'm embracing the local culture. Miss it return from Rublev.
As Rublev wants to check the mark, the first point of the 7th game. And the ball is called good. Is that within the uniform compliance rules that the Empress has instituted?
Definitely is not. But having been so royally abused the other day when I decided to wear a relatively sporty pair of shorts, I'm in sort of rebel mood. I'm going to wear what I want to wear. I'm going to assert my authority in this heat, Courtney.
That's the Marcus Buckland that Red Sox Devil was referring to.
Yes. I mean, the only thing that worries me about those football shirts, they're quite itchy, aren't they?
I don't know.
Do you ever worn one? No.
Well, not a Premier League one,
Okay, I'll get you a Spurs shirt, Courtney. You look good in it. It would suit your noggin. 30 love, Borges.
Shaved horn.
Shaved or otherwise.
Shaven or roughly shaven.
I don't care whether you shave or not. You're lovely either way, Courtney. Drop shot from Borges, and it's a brilliant drop shot. There's no way Rublev can get to that one. He tried. That was executed to perfection.
So we've seen one in the backhand wing in the first game of this match. The forehand wing on the 7th game. The disguise on both instances, perfect. Sublime touch from the Portuguese player.
Serving out wide now to the Rublev backhand. Down the line from Borges. Yeah, caught the line as well. It's another hold to love. Really interesting opening set, this. And elsewhere, Marta Kostyuk made a fast start. She went a break up against Victoria Golubic, but the Swiss player is now a break up. They're sitting down with Golubic leading by 3-2, and the break. Now, the double barrel battle on court 14 is on serve. Pablo Carreño Busta, in a moment, will get off his chair at 2-3 against Thiago Agustín Taranti. Wang Zhiyu is playing Julia's.
Stero de Seva.
Good. Well, she's winning 3-1. Magda Linette and Iga Świątek are going to start at midday. Julian Cash and Lloyd Glasspool, the Brits, who are seeded 3 in the men's doubles, are level at 3-all against their Czech opponents, Pavlicek and Rickel. Other doubles matches taking place today, and singles matches to look forward to. You've already mentioned it. This Fonseca-Djokovic encounter is going to be huge.
And not before 3:30. There's two matches to come on this magnificent stadium court. There's some people already filing in for the day's play, which begins with Magda Linette and Iga Świątek at midday. Two Polish stars going up against each other, followed by Vera Andreeva and Marie Buzkova, the 27th seed. Fonseca-Djokovic to follow. And then at night, Alexander Zverev. Is this his big chance, Marcus, up against the local hopeful Quentin Halys? Just a cheerio to Lizzie, who has written, Marcus, to say good morning. She was struggling to find some joy after being up with a sick kiddo, and that's never an easy thing, I can understand, until she remembered that the tennis starts now. So thanks for bringing some joy. We'll do our best, but I hope all goes well in that situation, Lizzie.
Absolutely. I'll echo that. Just in terms of that Djokovic match, remember that Fonseca is 19. Since he was born in August 2006, Novak has made it to the quarterfinals or better at 18 of the 19 Roland Garros editions that he's taken part in. His only loss while Fonseca's been alive was in 2009 in the third round against Philipp Kohlschreiber. And just one other little stat. Fonseca is attempting to become the first teenager defeat Djokovic at a Grand Slam. The very first teenager.
So there's so much on it. We saw him practicing out here a little earlier. He looked relaxed. He looked, you know, composed. It's at least 4.5 hours before he plays that match. Probably longer. But that gives you an indication for those who are listening now as to how early tennis players will arrive on site for their matches. You know, you might think, oh, I'm last on it. You know, first match tonight at 8:15 for Zverev. Around 2 o'clock, we'll see him. 2 to 3 o'clock, we'll see him walking through the media, the press area. Often walks through the press area to go and practice. It's a shortcut. You get a great, you know, sight of these players and their teams, their entourages walking through. So, you know, the players are on deck at least 5 to 6 hours before their matches. You know, some of the, you know, the 11 o'clock starters will have been here from about 7 to 8 o'clock, won't they, Marcus? Like yourself, like you would have been here at 8
absolutely.
O'clock.
Absolutely.
Absolutely working through, doing your notes, doing your preparation, your diligence. I was doing that at home.
Yeah, of course you were.
Absolutely.
We never stop, do we? I mean, I go to sleep listening to the what do you call it?
The whirring fan.
No, not the whirring fan. No, what goes on Radio Roland Garros during the night, the highlights.
Yes.
So I'm constantly remembering what happened. It's 24/7, 365.
Well, 24/7.
Yeah.
15.
Yes, that's true.
15 of 365.
Well, 16, because I do try and do something the day before.
Oh, indeed. And to be fair, we do. We all work in tennis in different areas around the world, so we...
Well, we do.
We are keeping up to date.
We're very, very hardworking. That's the point we're making. Apart from Stefan, who has 50 weeks of the year off.
50 weeks, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
I believe he pays some contractors in the week before to actually move all the stuff in.
He does. Oh, he wouldn't want to lift things himself. You know, French labour laws and all the rest of it. As Borges goes long. So it's 15-all. 4-all. 15-all. Marta Kostyuk's broken back now on court Simon Mathieu. So a succession of breaks in the first 6 games of that one.
And sort of rapidly racing through this, Borges tested in the first 2 service games of his own, faced 4 break points. Rublev not able to secure one of those, got a little frustrated, slapped himself on the right thigh a couple of times. But really, it's been a whip-cracking start. We're 8 games in and it's only 27 minutes long, this match.
No, it's been good to watch. There's been some really good tennis and there has been a little rumble of discontent from Rublev, who's playing a lovely off forehand winner, gave himself room. Running round onto his forehand wing, saw the gap and exploited it perfectly.
Oh, there's been a... just a little chatter in the background there.
Yeah, it's going to defeat me because, as you know, obrigado and burro are the only words in Portuguese.
I didn't hear Nuno suggesting to his team that he'd been a burro.
No, if only he had, we'd have been able to tell you exactly what was going on.
Well, I can tell you what's going on here. Rublev draws another error from the Borgia's back end, floated well long, and so now two more break points for Rublev. He's 0-4 so far, zip from four. We see Marat Safin applauding, saying, "This is the time to strike, my friend."
Well, if he doesn't strike here, I think we could get the first proper eruption. Missed first serve from Borges. Rublev waited to pounce quite a long way behind his baseline. Forehand return to the backhand wing of his Portuguese opponent. And then a wild forehand from Rublev.
And just shaped into that, you can see him muttering away some frustration. Again, he was right in that rally, Marcus. It didn't necessarily need to go for too much. There's a lot of chatter back and forward from the box. Marat's sitting, he's muttering away. What shape are those sunglasses?
Unusual. Very unusually shaped. That's a good, good backhand down the line from Borges. And he staved off two more break points.
And that's about the third or fourth time in this set so far, in this match so far, that just, I suppose, the preparation of the back end, he's been able to befuddle Rublev with that drive, that redirect down the line to the forehand wing, Rublev not able to get across.
Forehand return now from Rublev, straight back at the server. Now Rublev's going across court on his backhand wing. He's having to run up and down his baseline. It's Rublev. Puts up a high ball. The drive volley's a winner from Borges. That is Andre Rublev giving his own commentary.
I believe he said Borra for throwing up that lob there. A little Portuguese from Andre himself, calling himself a donkey for squandering these break points.
He's bubbling under. Might bubble over in just a moment, but then a miss hit from Borges on his forehand wing. Back to Juice. Four all, Juice. Six break points have come and gone for Rublev already.
The balls are flying, not surprising given the conditions. Again, there is no wind out there today. It was, dare I say it, it's been a topic of conversation, but it was warm walking in.
Yes.
And
running in your case because you were so late.
Striding.
It's a purposeful stride. Running forehand is not going to be good enough for Rublev because the power of that flat hit that Courtney was talking about earlier off the Borges racket was simply too much.
You've opened up a can of worms as well with your sledging of the team from your nation.
Oh, who have I upset now?
Mad Martin, Dave.
Oh, dear.
People are getting in touch.
Well, not Mad Martin. I'm trying to get on the wrong side of Mad Martin. Yeah. Returns long. I think it was wide as well. It certainly missed the court from Andre Rublev. So Nuno Borges has saved six break points, and in a moment Andre Rublev is going to have to serve to stay in the first set at 4-5.
Having never been troubled on his own service game throughout this opening set, the pressure keeps rising when you don't take the opportunities that are presented to you. So Rublev now finding himself in a little bit of peril.
Oh, Mad Martin, come on. He's written in saying, "Marcus, triple exclamation mark, as there are no Brits left in the singles, I have to support the Arsenal. We need British success in Paris. You treacherous individual." How do we block people, Stefan?
Dave has also got in touch from Cambridgeshire.
Oh, yeah.
Or Cambridgeshire, however you would like to pronounce it, depending on where you're from. Marcus, come on. Enough of the daily Arsenal bashing. It's getting a touch tiresome. Be content, your lot achieved the much-desired 17th place trophy. Well, there was no trophy, my understanding is, Dave, with that. No, the trophies were won by the Australian coach. You probably have a little to worry about, as most fellow Arsenal fans will realise, PSG will be strong favourites tomorrow. But hey, with sport, just maybe anything can happen. On the tennis front, Zverev won't win Roland Garros. Ruud will best Novak, I think, should they meet. And the top half of the draw is a little weaker now given the lack of seeds. Well, I think a little weak, but they're all very quality players. And, you know, it's a land of opportunity up there. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, okay. I promise not to bash the Gunners again for at least 10 minutes.
End of this set, anyway.
Yeah, end of the set. Well, it could come sooner rather than later, and if it comes at the end of this game, then Andre Rublev is going to be spitting. He's serving at 4-5. That's a good return cross-court from Borges. Deep with a plus one from Rublev, who goes cross-court on his backhand, now plays an inside-in forehand to the forehand wing of the Portuguese player, and the miss hit is from Rublev on his forehand. Love 15.
Yeah, beautiful return at the start. Opened that up. It was an off backhand return. Had Rublev scrambling. He did a good job to actually get it back deep and stay in the point. But from that moment on, the first shot, he was scrambling. He was, you know, he was the one that was on the move. And Borges, great start to this game.
Rublev looking to go down the middle. Misses. Wrong side of the centre line. So love 15, second serve, 4-5. The second serve is long. It's a double fault.
Oof. Okay, we talk about how things can change quickly in matches. Rublev has had the upper hand in general play, behind on the scoreboard, and well, the body language of Marat, does that look content to you?
It looks ever so slightly concerned. Second double fault from Rublev. Love 30. Forehand return. Well, it's a much better serve, and the forehand return was a little wild. It was mistimed. The ball came very quickly at him, and it balloons long. So 15-30.
180 kilometres an hour out wide. Really well struck. Hit the spot.
Could do with another big first serve, and he gets one down the middle this time. The return sails long, so two good first serves just when Andre Rublev needed them, but he's not out of the woods yet at 4-5-30 all. I shall show a lot of composure in this particular game, despite going love 30 down. That's another good first serve. Shortish ball, big forehand from Rublev, and another forehand long from Borges. It's his turn just to display a few signs of irritation.
He picked the right side for Rublev to drive that forehand. He knew which way he was going to go, but just the pace of shot, it really rocketed off the racket of Rublev. Deep, not able to control the half volley from the baseline.
Doesn't get the first serve this time. Catches the same ball which came back to him and uses it for the second serve. It was a deep one, shortish ball, and an easy put away for Rublev. Clench of the fist. That's good from love 30. Another hold. 10 games, 10 holds after 35 minutes. Marta Kostyuk and Victoria Golubic are back on serve. There's been a whole host of breaks in that match on Simone Mathieu. Golubic is about to serve at 3-4. Pablo Carreño Busta is serving at 3-4 against Thiago Agustin Tarrante. And our friend Yulia.
Started to save her.
I'm relying on you for that. They're on serve at 3-4 as well. Doubles matches, including Julian Cash and Lloyd Glasspool, who are a breakdown. In fact, Pavacek and Rickel of the Czech Republic are serving for the first set on court 8, and in fact have just taken the first set on court 8 against the number 3 seeds from Great Britain by 6-4. All the latest scores, the draws, the results, interviews, features, everything you could possibly want to know about Roland Garros is available on the website and on the app as well. That's the best way to listen to us. As I always say, you just press the little radio icon on the top of the first page of the app.
0-30.
And you can stay with us all day from 11 o'clock in the morning through to the last ball, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing.
And the great thing is we love getting messages from around the world. Please let us know what you're up to. Tune in if there's anything that catches your eye, and clearly it's been the Buckland way, the Buckland blue. There's been the draw card today. Borges wearing it with style, but down love 30 in this service game at 5-all.
Yes, the third time he's been at love 30. He's come through in the previous two instances, and that's a very good serve out wide to the forehand of Rublev to get back to 15-30.
Just worked that ball beautifully, came around it, lovely slice serve, found the spot, and it kept arcing away from Rublev.
Backhand return now from Rublev down the middle of the court. They exchange forehands down the line. It was inside in, actually, from Borges. Then he goes with the off forehand, high defensive lob from Rublev, trying to stay in the point, but it lands long.
It struck me that he almost didn't know which way that was going to go. I think he was thinking that Borges might go down the forehand wing that time, given he's had some success. He got a little cement-footed behind the baseline there, Rublev. He didn't quite get the feet going quick enough to get back to the backhand side, and hence the error. So, again, a half window goes begging for him. 30-all.
I like that expression, cement-footed. I'm going to steal that off you. used that before?
I guess more traditionally it's probably lead.
Yes, I like cement footed. Yeah. Forehand down the line, return from Rublev. Now he's going back behind Borges again, and Borges nets. Guess what? It's another break point for Andrei Rublev. Is it going to be seventh time lucky?
Oh, you beat me to it. I was going to go with lucky number seven. Mm-hmm. It's seventh time lucky. We see here in a little alarm. Rublev just gives his belly a little rub with his left arm, a little comforting pat.
Yeah.
Encouraging himself, bouncing around about a metre and a half behind the baseline to return.
And he's returning on his backhand cross-court to the backhand of Borges. Down the middle of the court now from Rublev. He'll play a backhand cross-court again. Borges is looking to attack, but he's netted. And finally, at the seventh time of asking, and having been under a little bit of pressure in his own service game just a few moments ago, Rublev does break after 38 minutes. And in a moment, he'll serve for the first set at 6-5.
And we touched on the flatter striking that Borges plays with. He hits the ball flatter. Rublev able to hit heavy topspin on that back, and he got it to jump. Borges' backhand, just not enough margin for error on the last two points. Very flat, and unfortunately not enough clearance. Both caught just below the top of the tape. So now the match swings to Rublev. The first set, a chance to serve it out. Mark, Stonefish Mark, has written to say, for balance, Marcus, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Ari, the Arsenal bashing.
Absolutely.
And, have you plugged your world-famous podcast, The Tottenham Way, yet?
Ah, well, I will. I'm going to plug The Tottenham Way podcast, which you can get on a regular basis with myself and the two Toms, Tom Barkley and Tom Allnutt, and also the brilliant George Sessions. And I do another podcast, and I will quickly mention Sport is History, how it all played out, and a bonus episode's dropped this morning where, in the company of my co-host, the brilliant Mark Pugac, we have put together a combined 11 of PSG and Arsenal. I was told by Mark and the producer, be sensible, Mark, because you can't have 11 PSG players. I was tempted.
So you went with 10?
Well, I was very tempted with that. I think, actually, unfortunately, there's there's four Arsenal players in my combined 11, but do check that out.
I was wondering why you looked a little white-faced this morning.
Yeah, well, I mean, with the goalkeeper, there was no choice, and a couple of other positions, unfortunately, I just could not go against the Arsenal players. But despite the fact that I've got more PSG than Arsenal players, I have got a sneaking feeling that Arsenal are going to win. Now, here's Rublev serving for the first set. He gets the first point after a really entertaining rally that had Borges coming forward and then just missing his mark.
Great use of the court from both players. Rublev's not happy with that, still gesturing towards his box about something. But Borges had come up with an amazing angle, a great squash shot, sliced wide. Rublev, great defence. Borges just caught himself a little cramped. He basically ran into that back end and hit it too close to his body. And Rublev's response, turn around and let rip at your box.
Yeah, Marit's definitely woken up now. You said he'd be good after midday. Well, what are we? It's 9 minutes to midday. He's roused himself. Probably a couple of espressos have helped. 15 love, backhand return. Cross court was a good one from Rublev, and the plus one. It was a good return from Borges, and the plus one from Rublev was long.
Just shaped for a second to punch the strings, I think, after missing that backhand, but held off. Wiser head prevailed.
Mbappe's been in touch with us, not Killian, but Mbappe Mutu.
Speaking of rapid movers and rapid strikers.
Hang on, we've got a few more verbals from Rublev. He's getting a bit irritated with the ball boys.
He wants one special ball, and the umpire is having none of it. A little disdain. Look at disdain and a shake of the head.
Yes. It's a good serve, though, with the ball that he has used. Now, forehand to forehand. Rublev's going to go cross-court on his backhand. So, too, is Borges. And the backhand from Rublev is into the net. And, well, having got the break, in a position to serve for the set, he finds himself at 15-30. By the way, the umpire, I think, looks a little bit like Jose Maria Olazabal.
Yeah.
Do you spot the...
There was certainly...
That's Marit Safin, by the way, being very vocal.
Yes, there's been a lot of chatter back and forward in this game between coach and protege, or coach and employer.
Mm-hmm.
The man paying the bills.
So 15:30, a second serve. Rublev pulls out of one throw ball, throw up. Now he plays an off forehand to the backhand of Borges. Backhand cross court from Andrei Rublev. Repeats that as our pictures temporarily go completely crazy, which doesn't help when you're commentating, but we do see enough off the Borges forehand to know that it went wide. And Rublev gets back to 30-all. We should explain, of course, that we're in our commentary booth overlooking Court Philippe Chatrier, where shortly we'll have the all-Polish battle between Magda Danet and Iga Świątek. So we're commentating off a screen, and when the pictures start to go crazy,
it makes it a little harder to keep track of what's going on.
It is a definite challenge, but they've come back now.
But we'll make it work.
They have come back now, fortunately. So 6-5, 30-all. Rublev a couple of points away, perhaps, from taking this first set. Serves to the backhand. And now a succession of forehands down the middle of the court. Plenty of loft from both men. And it's Borges who errs on his backhand wing. For a moment, I thought he was going to hurl his racket into the back wall. But he just resisted that temptation.
Real frustration from a man who you don't often see a whole heap of emotion. And again, it is the backhand wing. Just not enough clearance there is. No margin for error, and when it goes wrong, it's costly.
And it's set point for Rublev. He's looking to go out wide, but nets on his first serve. The second serve is a body serve. It's returned by Borges, and the plus one from Rublev is long. Now, you were touching your stomach.
I was. Look, just in the last two or three games, I'm not sure whether there's anything in it. We'll just keep a little eye on it, but a couple of times Rublev has put his hand to his abdomen, and on that occasion it was after the first serve. It just shot up for a second to the abdomen. So, look, not unusual for players to be feeling something. We don't know whether or not, but it's just something to keep an eye on.
Is he
didn't have any issues on that occasion.
No,
is he just
didn't.
Rocketed a serve down the tee, caught the back of the service line to bring up another set point.
And the Empress has moved in next door.
Oh, and she's got array of tools.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Lots of tools, the Empress. Set point number two. He was going out wide to the backhand. It looked for all the world as if it was going to be an ace, but Jose Maria Olazabal, the second, says no, it just clipped the top of the tape.
Set four.
Another first serve. That's a good one. And the return's not coming back. Andrei Rublev, after 45 minutes and after varying degrees of frustration, has taken the first set on court. Suzanne Longlen against Nuno Borges by 7-5.
And on winning that, racket straight to the chair and immediately leaving the court, Andrei Rublev. He's called for something. There is something with his left side around the stomach, around the abdomen. So just having a little chat with officials as we speak.
He's rubbing his back as well now.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, I think one of the officials is saying he's not allowed to go off court. The physio's there.
So I think,
yes, he is now being allowed to go off court.
But clearly there'll be some strapping or there'll be something done. You could just see in the last two or three games that there was something that was bothering him a little bit. Didn't affect the quality of his play or his serving. He was able to secure that break after 7 break points. The service, he remained strong on serve, but just, an interesting little development at the end of that first set of what's been a good match so far.
Yeah, it really has been. And, of course, we'll continue to keep a very close eye on events there. I suspect there's going to be quite a delay while Rublev has the treatment. So we're going to move back across the court, Philippe Chatrier, where in a moment Magda Linet and Iga Świątek will be announced to those who have made it into the main court. And I'd say, it's about fifth full at the moment, something like that.
People will be coming in because, of course, it's a midday start on the main stadium court. They love to file in. Long, long day at the tennis, and we know it's hot. Looking already, plenty of people wearing hats, understandably. They've got fans, and the fans are fluttering all the way around this magnificent stadium court.
Just a couple of stats with regards to the set we saw a few moments ago for Borges. 8 winners, 15 unforced errors. Rublev was 13 winners, 12 unforced. And we just saw a little cutaway of how the Rublev camp celebrate big points. And it was a point that Rublev had won and everybody was getting excited except Marit Safin, who was just sitting back, arms folded, no reaction at all. He is the coolest dude in town, isn't he?
Well, it's not yet midday, Marcus.
No, that's good. That's a good point. So the warm-up here on Chatre, they play the music, we get these lovely montages on the 3D screens, the Eiffel Tower, all these iconic parts of Paris which have effectively been dusted in clay. It's brilliantly done. And then in a moment the screens will cut backstage and we'll see the players waiting in the little antechamber, and then one by one they come up the steep staircase. I say it every day, but sooner or later, Courtney, one of these players is going to slip on the stairs.
Touch wood that is not today. And touch wood, if that occurs, that nothing significant happens, of course.
Well, you know also that what Aryna Sabalenka and Novak Djokovic are involved in, it's this unofficial dance-off as they go down the stairs after a match. And I'm thinking that is potentially dangerous. And yesterday, Aryna was talking about it on court after her win against Elsa Jacquemot. And we were waiting to see how she'd do it, and they cut away. I hope she was all right.
Well, we are assuming that she's made it down because she plays the Aussie Daria Kasatkina in the third round, a former semi-finalist here in 2022. That'll be a clash of contrasting styles between the two.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've not heard any reports of untoward activity on the staircase, and that staircase is